Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
I consider it a privilege to be here this morning and be able to speak to what I was going to say are the worker bees. In every organization I've been part of, there are those who plan what needs to happen, like Jamie. Well, you're sort of in between, because then there's everybody else that makes it happen, and that's who you are. So I hope today will be a message for you. And I wanted to say that, and you'll see what I mean by this a little bit later, but if you treat each other like you treat Alice and me, with appreciation and encouragement the way you do, then this will just simply be an encouragement or reminder to keep on keeping on. Because Alice, I think it's okay to say this, but she said this morning, I've never been in any group that appreciates me and expresses it and encourages me like this group, CMM. So, and the rest. So thank you for that. There's a verse in the Bible that has meant an awful lot to me over the past several years. Well, many years now. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And most of you can probably quote that. But I'm talking about Ephesians 2, 10. And we know we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But how often do we think of the next verse that says, for we are his workmanship. We're his worker bees, created in Christ Jesus. We're created for this, to do his good works, which he prepared beforehand. And I think that might actually mean before we even made the scene here. He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I want to encourage you with that. It has always encouraged me that the work that I need to do, that God has prepared beforehand for me to do, applies in my home, applies in my church, in the marketplace, in my community, and yes, at your workplace, at CMDA. And so what we are doing, if you like being here, you can praise God for that. If you're not sure you like being here, praise God for that. Because I have found over the years that when I acknowledge that he's the one that gave me this work to do, even when there's adversity, it's all part of the plan he had for me, because it's helping me grow to be better and be prepared for the next thing he has, which is more work of his. So I want to encourage you to just thank the Lord that he has a plan for you and you're in the midst of it, whether it's difficult or a joy. And I hope it's a joy. I've been blessed to have joy at most of the work I've done over my life. And I hope you do too. Well, most of us are familiar with Bible heroes. I want y'all to name a few. People that you know from the Bible that God has just used in a miraculous way. Who are some of them? David, King David, right? Good. Well, we all know Jesus is the superhero, right? Joseph, he's one of my favorite Bible characters. Yes. Deborah, sure. Moses, absolutely. And how about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, then you mean Joseph. And I think you could say, what, Isaiah and Jeremiah might be heroes of the Bible. And talk about adversity. And then we get to the New Testament. You mentioned Jesus. Well, who are some of the hero apostles? Paul, it just stands right out, doesn't he? And maybe Peter, maybe John. Okay. Well, we know the heroes of the Bible. But what about the lesser known heroes of the Bible? Just people like you and me that have a job to do. And God says, I've got a little something here for you to do. And so they go and do it. Well, I've named a few of them up here. And I think I'm going to have to use my notes. How about Moses' sister? Because, I mean, his mom had put him, wrapped him up, put him in a basket, put him out in the Nile or in the reeds. And who's watching him? Moses' sister. And who, and when Pharaoh's daughter discovers this, they find this baby in the basket, speaks up and offers to go get somebody to nurse this baby, knowing it would be her mother. I mean, this is just a young lady, or a little girl even, who stepped up, and I consider her a hero for doing what God had for her to do. How about there's Nabal's wife, Abigail. Anybody remember Abigail? David was was actually on the run from King Saul, and he needed to feed his troops, and he went to one of the local guys had a great big farm and ranch, and asked for food, or he sent his men to ask for food. He'd been kind of protecting the guy, and the guy would just blow him off, said absolutely not. Well, David got angry over that, and he was going to take his men, and he was going to wipe Nabal and everything else out. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard about this. She got up a bunch of provisions and went to David and appealed to David. And she didn't go to him and say, please save my husband's wife. She went to him and said, please save yourself, because you do not want to be blood guilty before God. And if he had killed Nabal out of his anger, he would have been blood guilty before God. And that's against the law back then. So she saved David, who became king, and I consider her a hero. By the way, part of her reward, she ended up later becoming one of his wives. She was a significant person. Then how about Naaman's wife's servant girl? Naaman was the commander of the armies of one of the neighboring nations, and he was powerful. He was amazingly popular, but he is a leper. And the servant girl of his wife said, got the word, and didn't go directly to him. She went through the proper channel and told his wife, if he would just go to the prophet Elisha in Israel, he could heal him. And so the word got to Naaman, and he went to Elisha. Of course, we know Elisha told him what to do, and he got angry because Elisha told him to go dip himself 7 times in the muddy waters of the Jordan, and he said, I've got better rivers than that back in my country. I'm offended by that. And so he was going to leave not healed. Then a couple other lesser known heroes, his servants, said, now, what did he say? It was simple to do. You might get healed. Why not do it? And so they talked him into going ahead, and of course he got healed. These were servants that, it's amazing to me, they had the influence to speak up because if they said the wrong thing, they could lose not just their servanthood, their lives. Then one Ebed-Melech, and I may come back to Ebed-Melech, but God used him. He was an Ethiopian eunuch, somebody that you could say might not care about doing anything good for any Israelite. But he was different, and he was instrumental in saving Jeremiah's life. I may come back to him. How about the shepherds? Have you thought about these were simple shepherds out on the hills around Jerusalem that God, Yahweh, chose to announce Jesus Christ, the Messiah's coming. Just a shepherd keeping sheep. Some of the first worshipers of Jesus Christ. Simple men. And then, of course, the poor widow who Jesus saw in the temple, and she put in her I think King James calls mites. In our language, we'd say two pennies. That was all she had. She put them in the offering. And I don't know if you've thought about it, but that treasury she put her two mites in, it's one of the most wicked treasuries that ever existed, because out of the treasury of the temple came the pieces of silver to have Jesus portrayed, send him to the cross. But Jesus didn't condemn her for that. He condemned her for being obedient. And her heart was to do good and put those two mites in there. And of course, he elevated her above all these religious people that were given and making sure everybody knew what they were giving. We don't know her name, but we're still today, here I am right now, talking about a widow, a poor widow. She is a lesser known hero. Okay. These all had something in common. They all showed faith in God, in Yahweh. And I say Yahweh because in today's world, people use God so freely, you don't know who they're talking about. I'm talking about the God of the Jewish and Christian God, Yahweh. They were all in the right place at the right time. And I don't think they chose to do that. I think God's Spirit led them to be there. Each one obeyed what the Holy Spirit put on his or her heart to do or say. So they had a relationship with God that was alive, so they could follow his will. They all demonstrated a fear of God over fear of man. Let me go through those four one more time. In fact, I may put them up there, or did we do that? Okay. Thank you. They all showed faith in Yahweh. I'm assuming that everybody that works here has a faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were all in the right place at the right time. No matter what you think's going on in your life right now, you're at the right place at the right time when God has you doing his good work. Each one obeyed what the Holy Spirit put on his or her heart to do or say. Now that's some place we sometimes struggle with. Sometimes we get an inspiration from God. Maybe we're in his word. Maybe we're in a worship service and we feel inspired that there's something we need to do or say. And we say, well, maybe, maybe not. That could be embarrassing or whatever, so we back off. But when we hear from the Lord, it's time to buckle down and do what he says. And then they all demonstrated a fear of God over fear of man. And boy, do we need Christians today who fear God more than fear man. We need to be models of that. And now, unfortunately, or I should say the reality is that often the lesser known heroes get little recognition or little appreciation. Again, remember what I said at the very beginning. The way you two treat us says you probably treat each other with a lot of encouragement and appreciation. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And I know from organization, I know in my own case, I've had to learn to do that more and more. And so you don't hear about, they don't get that appreciation they need sometimes. There's a group that, it's actually a company called Corporate Communications Experts. I thought it just was a generic term, it was a company. And they said when employees know their hard work is appreciated and recognized, they feel that their work is valued, and this motivates them to maintain and improve their great performance. And that's a truism for all people, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. If you're not appreciated, not encouraged in your work, eventually that's going to wear on you. Some of us require less of that than others. But some people really need that pretty regularly. And so I found this best thing to do is just pat people on the back. All, you know, don't worry about whether they need it or not. They all need it. We all need it. I don't think that's just true in the workplace. That's true at home and in every aspect of our lives. That's needed. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Or two, actually. And I'd like you to respond to, give me some response. Does the performance of a Christian look, let's say in the workplace, look different from that of a non-Christian? And if so, why? Any thoughts on that? Pardon? It should be. And why would it be, why would Christians be expected to go above and beyond? Because our model does that. Look, God and Jesus, of course, we know, went above and beyond. Just coming to this earth, he did. Okay, that's good. Any other thoughts on that? Okay. I'm going to share with you some things that I think might apply, and I'll just let the scripture speak for itself. I want to read these verses, but before I do that, there's one in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So there's a hint for us. Maybe an instruction. Then in Colossians 3, 17, 22, and 23, says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Slaves, verse 22, and this is out of the ESV, I believe it is, or New American Standard, uses slaves. That there are other words, probably a common replacement word for that is servant. Slave is not a popular term today. Unfortunately, sadly for our society, there are different kinds of slaves that are on the increase, human slaves, work slaves, and sex slaves. But anyway, it's talking really about servants. Paul called himself a bond servant of Jesus Christ. In all things, obey those who are your masters or your boss or a person in authority. Not with external service or not with eye service, not just doing it to get by, but sincerely doing it. As those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. I like to call it building heavenly treasure. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And I'd say these scriptures give us the reason why our performance is going to be above and beyond. It's going to be different. It's going to bring glory to the Lord. Are we going to be perfect? Sorry. we're on the journey. We're going to mess up. But when, even when we mess up, our attitude about that is to reconcile, right? It's to overlook things that aren't important. And when it is important, so you can't just overlook it, is to approach each other in a loving way. Alice and I have learned how to approach when somebody offends us or does something that really we just don't understand why they're doing that, is not to come at them this way. You, why did you do this? You offended me. It's to come to them and say, could you help me with something? I don't understand. This thing that you did, it hurt me. And I just want to know, better understand why this happened. And what you're doing is you're not making the accusation so much as you are saying, help me understand what's going on here. And sometimes what we find is there's a better explanation for that problem than we even thought of. And so we become part of helping with the solution then. Sometimes it causes that person to rethink. And sometimes they just ignore it and go on. But you've done the right thing. So, you know, it's representing Christ well. Treating each other like Christ would. Loving each other. Putting others before ourselves. At least loving each other as we love ourselves. And we, it makes our work day better if we do that. As whether Christian or not, we enjoy words and acts of appreciation and encouragement, a pat on the back. But as Christians, we have a reason, a motivation, a model in Jesus Christ to do our best at what God has given us to do. And that's above and beyond the world's motivation. I've also would leave you with this. By the way, showing appreciation and encouragement to each other has a way of coming back to you when you need it. Thank you for encouraging us and appreciating us. And it's true of every one of us worker bees. Thank you.